All right, it's time for another music-inspired media podcast show. I am your host, Shane Christopher Neal, live from Wallando Beach, overlooking the beautiful beach, the beautiful people on a beautiful day. Everything is amazing. The bands are amazing, and this show is amazing, and that's why you're listening to it. Thanks for joining me today. Once again, another podcast for you. This one comes from London, Ontario, one of my favorite places, London, Ontario, home of the London Music Hall, and of course, home of Rose Cora Perry and The Truth Untold. They've been on this podcast show. You can listen to that podcast. All you have to do is go to iTunes. It is sitting right there. And also, by the way, her interview is on BSLiveRocks.com, which is a TV interview we did this past spring. But it's not about Rose right now. It's about a band called How's That, H-O-W-Z-A-T. Good friend of mine, Kevin Rudy, is the vocalist in the band. They are a four-piece high-energy rock act. They released a debut single and video called Storm in 2015. They are a completely amazing live band. I mean, that's where they really shine, is in the live arena, in the live area. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. The band has Kevin Rudy on vocals, Greg Fraser on guitar, J-Rad on drums, David Bouland on bass, and an addition in keyboards to the band is Dan Ransom. And in 2017, they came out with this politically charged song called Love Dust, and they've got some radio play over the last few years. And now here we are in 2018, and the band has an 8-song EP ready to rock and roll for you. We're going to talk about where they recorded it, how they recorded it, and what's coming up in 2018 for How's That. Stick around. This is a fun interview. His name is Kevin Rudy. This is the Music Inspired Media Podcast Show.
Welcome to the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. Shane's a TV and radio personality, international event host, A&R label rep, co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, an all-around epic guy. This podcast is sponsored by Music Life Magazine. Check out all Shane's podcasts at musiclifemagazine.net. So much to talk about with so little time. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
I think the biggest question right now is, who the hell does an interview at 7:45 a.m.? You know, I remember the world of being a rock star when you wouldn't get one out of bed until noon. And Kevin Rudy, all the way from London, Ontario, is on the phone and he's awake. And are you on the road or are you just at home sipping coffee or whiskey?
No. I'm no whiskey yet. Just having some coffee.
So
hit the road.
So you're a working man like everybody else in the music business. And I don't mean by working in music, but having to go to work. So
well, of course.
You're a busy man. So I appreciate you taking the time. So let's talk about How's That. And I, a couple of things. First of all, I think the first time we spoke was on the Max Inc. radio show, correct? And I think I don't know if Phoenix Camara put you on to us or we connected on Facebook. I don't even remember, but it's a few years ago now. Wow.
Yeah, that was with such a rough, our first EP called Rough Cuts. I think you guys started spinning House of Love, if I remember correctly.
Yes, that was it. Exactly. Yeah. It's all coming back to me.
Then we had a bet on the London Knights hockey game.
That is right, and I don't think I won.
Too funny.
So how's that? So let me, did you go in and record something, and then you walked in and said, how's that? And they said, that was great. And you said, that's the name of the band? Or because it's kind of a cool name.
I wish it was that easy. No, actually, we started out 2 years, 8-9 years ago doing some acoustic stuff, and we just kind of stumbled across the name, How's That? And we liked the spinoff on it. And so we just kind of ran with it, to be honest.
So we're in 2018 right now, at least I think we are. And if I look at this, you guys came out in 2015. Is that accurate? And talk about then how you got the start as an acoustic band and transformed into what you are now.
I was out in Vancouver for all through the 90s. Came back about early 2000. And I was kind of sitting idle and just kind of picked up the guitar one day and hooked up, reconnected with an old buddy. And we started spinning out some old classic acoustic songs live in all the pubs across Ontario, doing Styx and Zeppelin and all that.
Yeah, the easy stuff. I get it.
Yeah. and to Mariah Heap of all things. So,
So you're but you're a school musician. You said you came from when you were out west. You were in school, were you not?
Yeah, I took a recording engineering course out there and for a few years, and dug into the Vancouver original music scene for about 5 or 6 years when I was out there, and you know, just hung out and did my thing, and you know, whatever. Tried to do our thing and just came back.
So you started great. You started as an acoustic act, and then what made you transform into, you know, wanting to play as an electric band?
Yeah, well, it's all that big guitars and drums is always part of us, always. So we just sitting around, we started writing some songs, and we just decided it was time to get back to our roots and put a band together and get out there and turn the volume up and have some fun, right? So
you come out with Storm, right? Was that the, okay?
That was our first single.
So when you started to write, and you're a co-writer in this, I believe you're the vocalist and co-writer. Where did you get your inspirations for this first album, and how did you think you wanted it to sound? Because now you have a new band, right? That's going to be these four or five guys that we got five, correct? That are going to
We got five now. We just added a keyboard player.
So you started with four, but where did you get your inspiration to do this and to find out exactly what you wanted to sound like as an original band?
That's a loaded question.
At 7:45 a.m. it is.
Shake the cobwebs, but you know, I was always into those the anthem rock type of songs where they're really crowd engaged and try to anticipate a live setting to your music and your original writings, right? So when we started writing, you know, the lyrically and musically, we wanted to try to keep it simple so that people would engage and change the melodies around and really make it more about the live setting regarding our music. So like, for example, in Storm, we engaged the crowd singing the hey, hey, hey chants and stuff like that. And it seemed to really take off. So we just kind of zeroed in on that and polished our writing as we're going and to make it more live oriented stuff, right? And really work on your live show, which brings people more to listen to your original music too. That's how I look at things.
So. Let me ask you this question. You know, everything I read about your band, or a lot of what I read, is about a live, energetic show. Is it hard to do that with the way the establishments are today? Like, there's not a lot of rock clubs. I don't know what London is like. I don't go to London for music often, and I probably should. But is it hard because a lot of them are smaller little chicken wing places, or not necessarily your big, you know, Lulu's or,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Uncle Sam.
Yeah, yeah.
So is it hard to kind of portray that in these small environments or no?
I don't think so, because, you know, the big room or the small room, you still got to, as a front man speaking, you still have to engage the audience, whether there's 50 people or 1,500 people there, right? It doesn't matter. You still have to put on a show and show people that you care, because you do care about how you're being perceived and your product and all that stuff. So whether you're in a pub or you're in Lulu's back in the day in Kitchener, Ontario, I guess where it was, you have to engage the people in order to sell your product. So
as
it is what it is.
As a vocalist,
doesn't matter where you are.
Do you play guitar too or no when you're playing live?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so you do both.
Not live, though.
Not live. So you're just a vocalist when you're playing live. Who are some of your inspirations back in the day or even now as a live vocalist? Like, is it a Freddie Mercury kind of guy? Is it, you know?
Yeah. No, I always dug the Deep Purple, Ian Gillan, David Bryan, stuff like that, you know. And then growing up, when I was growing up, you're probably in the same line, the stuff that you're doing is you look at those bands like David Lee Roth and Van Halen, and, you know, Freddie Mercury and all those guys, like, they work hard, Axl Rose, they work hard to draw that audience into every show, right? And that's just how I was brought up. That's your job.
So let's go to 2016, House of Love.
Yep.
So what was the inspiration behind that? I mean, because to me, that was an awesome song. It really was. And that's the one that we spun on the radio show now that I said that.
Short and sweet.
Love, short and sweet. 3 minutes long?
Yeah, or just under.
Where did that come from?
Well, I used to have this saying for years when I'd answer the phone, and it's like House of Love, just kind of a spinoff thing. And then I had that melody kicking around, and we just kind of ran with it about all the stuff going on over in the Middle East. And kind of, to be honest, it's what it is. It's kind of a knockoff cross between all the political war stuff going on and just a little bit of humor in it.
And then we get to 2017, and you come out with Love Dust.
Love Dust, there it is.
And speak about that, because it had to do with some political things. And was it something that you wrote yourself, or?
Yeah. No, we did. Actually, that song came together really quick because we were in writing mode, and actually all the Trump stuff was starting to ramp up down the States, not to keep the political theme, but it seems to be where we're zeroing in on lyrically with a lot of our stuff. And the working title of that song was actually called Trump Dust, believe it or not. So I didn't think that was very cool, but that's exactly what it's all about. It zeroed in right on that political race at the time down in the United States, and it seemed to work. Love that song.
And you play with a bunch of acts, I know, in 2017. The Killer Dwarfs, good friends of ours, Honeymoon Suite and all that. How important is it for an indie band to get on stages with these larger acts? Like, were these at bigger festivals? Were they just at smaller venues? Because I know, as somebody who promotes local music, and that's kind of one of my things, you know, find that big act and then put your local people on that stage so that people who are showing up to see the Honeymoon Suites at least get a taste of what you're all about. Even if you gain one fan, you gain five fans, whatever it is, right? So how important is it to play with bands that have some name recognition?
Oh, it's vital, right? I mean, we did a festival in London with Honeymoon Suite, for example. We did a club with Killer Dwarfs, and, you know, we're doing bigger clubs now. With, like, we did the Uriah Heep gig, we got Nazareth, and we just booked playing with Gilby Clark of the Guns N' Roses stuff. So to me, you're hitting a whole new crowd at the same time, and you're expanding your music to a lot of people in a hurry, right? So it's very important on my end to get us into those bills, because you meet a lot of people in the music industry, and you're playing with bands that you've always kind of dug along the same time over the years too. So it's, you know, it's kind of a,
like, you're a fan, right?
Oh yeah. You know, like, we did the Riot Heat gig. Like, I know those guys are way older, but, you know, growing up listening to some of that stuff and then watching these guys perform it in the background, it's just amazing, right? So
2018, cool. 2018 comes. Now, explain, you want some money for some studio time.
Yeah, $7,500 out of a radio station.
Okay, so how does that happen?
They have this contest that they run a couple times a year where you submit live original music videos. And the public actually votes on who they want to be selected into the top three. And then it's like a public vote for a couple days. And if you're lucky enough and you got enough people behind you, you get a chance to win that money, and we, like, lucked out and won $7,500.
So a lot of it is the social engagement from people, right, to the stations.
Yeah.
And so it's no different than the way you look at, you know, American Idol or a lot of other shows, that it becomes a little bit about popularity. So in speaking to that, how important is it for any band to have strong social media and, you know, a good following, proper posts, you know, informative posts? Speak to that a little bit, because I'm sure you're the guy, because you do everything else in the band, that's in charge of that as well.
Yeah. Well, it's tough for some guys to engage and understand how all the social media networking is so important. But obviously the way the world now is all mainly social media stuff. So, you know, other than having your numbers through the roof, you got to engage with all your people on social media privately, and you got to keep your posts active and current, right, at the same time. So, you know, the more people that dig you on social media, what I do is I engage them behind the scenes on a personal level and try to get them to bring their friends in and, you know, give them a little perks of what's upcoming from the band, like a new release before a release it publicly. you know, send out email blasts and, you know, stuff like that, just to keep the interest, because the attention span can be fairly short out there nowadays. There's so much going on, right?
How exhausting is it for you as, because number one, I mean, you're doing this because you want to write songs, you want to play live shows, you want to be in a band, right? And yet
exactly.
Here you are spending all of this time having to do what you just said.
Play manager. Engage.
Yeah. Like, because if you're not going to do it, another band is. And I often say to people, like, you spend more time trying to engage fans and post stuff on social media and post your videos than you do doing something you really love, which is writing songs and playing in front of people, right? So there's a land of an opportunity sitting in front of us with YouTube and all these other platforms that anybody can get their stuff out there. That's great. You could be nobody and all of a sudden have 10,000 followers, and that's awesome. But then speak to how much of a pain in the ass it is to have to do that every day, because if you don't, people forget who the fuck you are.
In a hurry. Yeah. Well, you know, social media always reminds you if you're lacking too, right?
Yes, it does.
You know, unfortunately. Well, it's a good thing I got a job that I can do both kind of throughout the day, you know, a couple hours of work, and then I can put a half hour into promotion on social media. But if you're not, like, you understand it. If you're not on top of it, you fall behind in a hurry with the next band, right?
Right.
So you always
right.
got to be innovative and thinking about different ways to promote the band, different way to release products, and more frequently, you know, it's a daily job and it's very exhausting.
So if
you don't love it, then why are you doing this stuff, right?
So speaking of releasing songs, so with the money that you've won, you recorded new music, okay? So let's talk about that, because that's what's relevant right now. You have how many songs? 8 songs, you said?
Yeah, we got eight new ones, and we did a re-recorded and remix of one of the stand-up on the Rough Cuts EP from 2016.
So now what's the plan with this album once you have it ready to go?
Well, with the money we went out the radio station, we went in and
drank.
Recorded a, pardon me?
And drank.
Well, there was a little bit of that, for sure, which is different. So we went into EMAX Studios with that money in London, Ontario. We haven't worked with those guys, even though it's our hometown. And recorded two brand new songs, one called Tell Me, one called Taking Flight.
Now, did you have to use that studio, by the way? Like, was was part of the deal? Okay.
That was part of the deal. Part of the deal. It's all about keeping the inner workings in London, Ontario.
Absolutely. Right? Okay.
So we went in there with their staff, and we cranked out a couple songs over about a 2-week span, which all that stuff's being released on a compilation CD throughout the radio station, because that's part of their gig, right?
So you get radio play with it?
Yeah, we get radio play. So, and the more people that obviously request a song after it's released, the better off in the long run, right? So at the same time we're in the studio, we shot an in-studio video, the making of these two songs. So we're going to, when the compilation CD comes out with other local acts, we're going to release the song and the video kind of the same time, which is probably about 2 weeks away by the sounds of things.
Okay, good.
For a song called Tell Me. And then this past winter, we were down at Takasa Studios, down in Caledonia, down your way, with Darren Jabotsky, which we recorded 6 brand new songs down there with those guys too. So that stuff was all going to be released in the spring, but when we end up winning this studio time, the time frame kind of changed. So now we're back into releasing that stuff. So we got all kinds of new material we're going to release as singles for the next 2 or 3 months, 4 months, and pump the world of Ontario and Canada with some, how's that?
So you have 2 that recorded in London, and then the other ones at some farm outside with wild animals in Caledonia. So let me ask, so you have 8 songs and 2 different...
You should go visit that place down there, by the way.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
Oh my God. It's unbelievable. That place is right on 6 Nations.
Wow. And it's
outside of Caledonia.
So you have 8 songs and 2 different studios and 2 different producers.
Yeah.
And so what are your thoughts on the differences in them? Like, do you notice, let's say, do you have a preference of one over the other?
Yeah.
I mean,
well, I don't have a preference, but it's definitely, the more you work with different producers, the more you learn different tricks of the trade and see how people work, right? You know, like the guy in London there, he's a real vocal producer. So obviously it was right up my alley, right?
Right.
And then down at Jocasta, down in Caledonia there, like those guys have worked with July Talk, The Trues, Billy Gibbons, like the list goes on and on and on of world artists that go through there, right? So it's just interesting how the engineers and producers on different studios, how they work. But in the end, both products are through the roof production-wise, and they're sounding great. So that's all we can ask for.
Do you have a preference of what song you will release first? Will it be Tell Me, or?
Yeah, isn't that funny how that works, right? All along, we were gearing up and shooting the new big production video for a song I think I sent you called Perfect World.
Yes.
All along, that was going to be our release for the last 7 or 8 months. We were gearing up for that. And then we got the studio time. Greg, my guitar player and co-writer, we sat down and we pumped out this song called Tell Me fairly quick. And now that seems to be the leading favorite as our first single. So we're going to run with Tell Me, then Perfect World, and probably a lyric video of some sort for Almost June. And see what happens.
Well, you have a connection in Niagara, right, with your excuse me, your guitar player, I think.
Right,
it is,
yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah, so maybe because there's that connection, you see, I'm going somewhere with this. Yeah. Maybe we can get housed at on the BS Live Rock Show on your TV Ontario in the fall, because you see, I need to have that connection locally to make it happen, kind of. I say yeah. That kind of because I had friend, I don't know if you're friends with them, but Rose Cora Perry's a good friend of mine, and she's from London.
And she's out of London, too. Yeah.
Right, but she also has a bass player now in Niagara, you see? So when she said to me, I have a bass player out of Niagara, I thought, wow, there we go. And she's so awesome as a person and as a talent. And so we had them down on the BS Live Rock Show, so maybe come this fall we can have How's That down, because there is that local connection, right? So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, Greg grew up down that way. Not exactly sure what town down that way, but he was down there outside near Welland somewhere.
That's where I am right now, Wollondo Beach. I'm overlooking the ocean. And not quite.
Yeah.
So.
But he's from down that way, so yeah, that would be cool.
So I won't keep you too much longer, but we know now you have 8 songs and an album type coming out. And so what about playing? Will you be playing down in Southern Ontario, or what are your tour plans or your playing plans?
Yep, well, we're just gearing up for a whole bunch of live shows again. Right now, this Saturday night, we're playing the annual. I grew up in St. Mary's, Ontario. So once a year, I get to go there, and we throw a big gig right downtown. So they reconnect all my friends. And then from there on out, we're playing London Music Hall August 28th, opening for Nazareth.
What a great venue, eh? The London Music Hall.
Oh, it's unbelievable in there. They have such killer bands and acts and a variety of entertainment.
Yeah, I saw Steel Panther a couple years ago. Yeah. And yeah, just awesome. And my buddies, the Maysides, opened up the show, so I went down there. And yeah, that was just a great venue.
Yeah, oh, it's great there. And the production's unbelievable. And then, so with that coming up, we got some private showcasing coming up for September, and then we're playing with the legendary Gilby Clark in October, opening up for him. So, and by the sounds of things, he might be doing a couple songs with us. So that's what this is in the inner workings now. So,
have you played the Rock Pile in Toronto?
Yeah, we've been down there a few times down there now.
Okay, I thought so, because when you say Gilby Clark, the only reason I said that is because I hosted a couple of Gilby Clark shows at the Rock Pile. And I know he plays there quite often because him and Steve Hoger, the promoter, are pretty tight. And I just kind of thought, if you haven't or you haven't opened up for Gilby there, you should maybe look at doing that, or let me know and I'll let them know, you know.
There we go. Type thing. And actually, all the connections coming in.
This is all about you and not about me, but I will say something that I've put it off for quite some time, and there's a reason for it, but Sunset Strip is going to open for Ted Poley and Danger Danger on August the 11th at the Rock Pile.
Wow.
And the only reason I say I put it off is because it's a bit of a different animal doing this. You know that from the inside of how the inner workings work, and it's just... it's a little bit of a, you know, especially from Niagara, although you're from London, and to get people to go. And so we had to kind of think of how we were going to make it happen. And we were thinking about getting a bus, but we just couldn't do it consistently over and over. And I know Ted, I've hosted some shows with Ted Poley. I'm a huge fan of Danger Danger. And my goal personally is to play Bang Bang at the sound check with Ted. and show him that he should have me come up and play it that night, but we'll see how that goes. And Pete Rulo is his bass player, and Steve Mazza, and they're both friends of mine, and Steve Sabo's, and we do shots of tequila and all kinds of fun stuff. Yeah, so I'm excited to do it because I know the band well. I know Ted a little bit. I love the band, and I figured, you know what? We're going to go do it. So I'm glad that you get a chance to play the Rock Pile. Great venue.
Oh, yeah.
Steve's a great guy.
Yeah, great there.
The promoter. And that's kind of awesome. Finally.
Yeah, we've been down there a few times now. So actually, we're heading back there in the fall. We just actually working with them, working out a show now. So
nice.
Yeah.
Final question. Before we started, you talked about the music scene in London. And I think if anybody who's not been to London to experience that, and including that includes myself, give us a little rundown about how things are in London, because it's always good to hear when independent bands are flourishing in a city.
Yeah. Well, London in the last couple of years has really started to evolve with some really great artists that are coming out, like Sarah Smith, for example. Like, I'm sure you recognize that name.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, like, she's really blazing the trail. She's touring all over the place. You know, the Junos in 2018 are being hosted in London. So then you have the Canadian Music Week coming there. You know, and it really just seems like there's so many original artists now in London, and not as much as the cover band scene, which is killer. I mean, you got the London Music Hall, you got East Side's Bar and Grill, you got Norma Jean's, you got Cowboys, which is throwing a lot of great venues, throwing a lot of shows, like I'm Mother Earth, all these guys coming through doing one-nighters, right? But there's a lot of up-and-coming talent there, like you mentioned, Rose Cora.
Yes.
Perry,
I
said her name right.
Yeah, Rose Cora Perry,
Yeah. Bands like Vultures playing Ruckus, Abandoned Souls, and the variety is all across the board, too, right? So it's a great scene. You should come check it out.
Absolutely. I'm on it.
You'll be down here Canadian Music Week, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think so. That's probably what's going to happen. I don't know. Somebody else runs my schedule. I just fucking show up.
No doubt.
Kevin Rudy, how's that? What are your... give us the website. You got a really great website.
Well, thanks. It's www.howsthatrocks.com.
And it's H-O-W-Z-A-T.
Yeah.
And your other socials...
We're all on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anywhere you can Google How's That, it'll pop up for sure.
Well, I look forward to chatting with you. I think you came down here not that long ago, right? I know a couple times you came down here, right? And it just didn't work out. I think we were playing that day, or I was somewhere.
Yep, you guys were out and about.
Yeah, we don't play a lot, but come the summer, for whatever reason.
You guys seem to be busy in the summer months.
Whoever the hell manages our fucking band just can't, you know, it's got Tourette's or something. I don't know. All summer, it's like, let's play, 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 play.
I seen your
band
a couple years ago. It was a great gig, by the way.
It was hilarious. We're playing tonight at Taps in Niagara Falls. Well, this is going to air on Monday, so it would have been Friday. We were playing at Taps in Niagara Falls. But
you guys were a fun gig. We had a fun weekend that weekend. We were down there.
Well,
it was a couple years ago now.
Here's the theory. When you're a shitty band, you have to have fun. And that's exactly what we do. So,
well, I wouldn't say you're a shitty.
That's my rule of thumb.
The drummer wasn't bad in your band.
I agree. Probably the best looking guy in the band and the best talent. I'm going to tell him that when I see him.
You should buy him a beer.
I might buy him multiple beers, actually. All right, buddy. Listen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Visit Shane on Facebook at Shane C. Neal Media Personality. On Instagram at ShaneCNeal.com.